Greetings, saints. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kindness and goodness to us in leading us to truth, Lord, opening our understanding, enabling us to walk in your steps through faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. Bless us today. Open our understanding today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, I want to share a couple of revelations with you, and they speak to those disciples of Christ who abide in him by grace through faith and have endured the trials to walk in his steps. And that's, of course, by his word. 1 John 2 and 4 says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar." And, of course, there's a lot of people like that in the church, so-called. And he goes on to say, "And the truth is not in him." The truth is not in him. "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected." Because if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments, Jesus said, right? "Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." And of course the Lord said in John 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, from him, from within him, shall flow rivers of living water." So we're about to see people rise up with power because of the anointing of the Lord upon them, because they have been walking in the Word of God and being tested by the Word of God and are overcoming through faith and grace. Amen. So this first revelation, it's the bride is rewarded for building the house of God. This was given to Eve Brast on October the 1st, 2017. And Eve said, "I was hesitant to send this, but I believe it primarily has a corporate meaning." You know, a lot of times dreams can, you know, be exalting of people. But if you stop and look at the principles behind who this person represents, you can see it's not really bragging on people. Although everyone who fulfills the good works of someone like the bride or like the man-child, they will be exalted by the Lord, just as our Lord Jesus was. So she's taking her name here as to mean a corporate meaning. She said, "I asked the Father if he wanted me to send this dream to give me all heads, and he gave me all heads. So I think I'm representing the corporate bride body. And maybe it has an individual meaning as well." Yes, I do believe it does. "But I believe the first fruits are about to be rewarded for diligence in building the house and being a habitation for the Lord to dwell in." Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. She said, "I dreamed that I was at the back of our local UBM meeting," which is, of course, I believe, a type and a shadow of the larger UBM, a microcosm of the larger UBM, right? "I had been working very hard cleaning the house with those white Mr. Clean magic erasers." I don't know anything about them. she gave 1 Peter 4 and 8, "Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covereth a multitude of sins." Well, amen. This is one of the main things, you know. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. I mean, if a person doesn't love his brethren, he just is not going to be in either one of these categories, right? Yeah, and Eve and all of the bride do work hard to clean up the house. They're very serious about pleasing God in this way. She said, "Everyone was sitting facing the opposite direction than usual, and the musicians weren't in their normal places with their instruments. And David had called a special meeting to make an announcement to everyone. In the meantime, while everyone was sitting and talking amongst themselves, waiting for the announcement, I was over in the back left-hand corner of the room near the front door with a flat-edge shovel, shoveling a 3-foot diameter pile of leftover dust and red dirt into a container or bucket of some kind in order to throw it out of the front door. Praise the Lord. Well, here's the first three mentions of dust in the Bible, and it's very revealing. You know, the way something is first mentioned is many times the way it's used prophetically in the rest of the Word. Okay. Genesis 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Notice it's man, right? And breathed into his nostrils the breath, which is also the Hebrew word for spirit, right, of life. And man became a living soul. So that physical part of man comes from the dust. And the spirit breathed into man is from God. Okay? Know that there is a spiritual man and a carnal man, right? And the spiritual man is being created in the image of the Lord. And of course, he is to rule over the carnal man. And if the carnal man is submissive to the spiritual man, you will come out from under the curse. You will come into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? But if you let the flesh rule over you, you must die, Romans 8 says. And then the second one was 3 and 14, Genesis 3 and 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, cursed art thou above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So what can we see from this? That Satan, the serpent, is able to devour dust, which is the carnal or fleshly part of man. And if we don't want Satan taking advantage of us, bringing every curse in the book upon us, which is what he administers, then we have to lose our carnal life. Jesus said, you won't gain your life unless you lose your life. The next verse is 3 and 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 and 50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Some people think that their flesh is going with them, but it's not. If you go early, you go without your new body. The new bodies are all given at the same time. These are the bodies that are going to be in heaven. Okay? So, dust goes back to dust, and the fruitful people receive a new heavenly body. So the dust must be swept out of the house of God for it to be holy. Alright? So that's what this is all about. Sweeping out the dust. Throwing it out the door. Get rid of the flesh. The flesh will kill you. People who follow after the flesh die. It's easy to know what is following after the flesh because the Bible is very clear. If a person will just read the Bible, they will know what it is to walk in the Spirit and what it is to walk in the flesh. I was also patting down the red dirt. Now, that's not the dust. This is the red dirt into a hole in the floor with the shovel and trying to seal it up. We've had revelations of this too, that this is not supposed to be coming into the house. And this is the reason she was sealing it out, was so that what is earthly is removed from the house of God. Red dirt reminds us of getting rid of the flesh of Esau and his faction against his brother. Esau was red. And the red, of course, is the carnal man that came from the dirt, right? And his seed, Edom, means red. Okay, so Esau and his seed, you know, the sins of the parents are passed on unto the children, right? And we can see them today, so many, many years later. We can see who Esau is out there. You can tell them by their works. They hate their brother. And dirt is what the flesh comes from, right? So she said, this seemed like hard work in the dream, and I was breaking a sweat. Well, it is hard work. And Eve works, and just like the bride works. But Eve works a regular job. She raises a family and carries on her prophetic ministry too. And also this great training for the bride to deal with God's people in the wilderness tribulation. This is great training. Everything that we're going through right now is in preparation for the tribulation to come, right? Amen. It's hard work. A lot of people would not like my job. I can guarantee you that. In fact, I don't like it so much myself sometimes. I've wished I could go to heaven and get this over with quickly. But nope, it has to go. It has to work. We do the will of our Father, right? David had been observing what I was doing with a smile. And I believe this is representing the Davids, you know. Not necessarily me. David had been observing what I was doing with a smile while standing in the dining room. This is true even in the letter, you know, that I do appreciate all that the bride does, you know, to serve the people of God. They have a heart to serve the people of God. He then walked swiftly past me into the room and took his seat that was near the restroom. I felt the wind rush past me as he went by. Wind, of course, and spirit are the same word. As David sat down and began to speak, everyone settled down and became quiet. He said, the Father has instructed me concerning a blessing for Eve Brast. And I believe that's as a type and also a member of the larger bride body. And here's why. Father gave me these verses. So Eve passes on these verses that David gave to the people to represent this blessing for the bride, right? 1 Chronicles 22:3. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the couplings, and brass in abundance without weight. Well, David's are preparing the words, which are nails, to build the house of God, which is his people. The building represents God's people, right? They They build the gates, which keep the enemy out, and the sheep in. Ecclesiastes 12:11 says, "The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails well fastened are the words of the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd." Pretty neat, huh? Nails well fastened are words of the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd, who is Jesus, right? Praise the Lord. And it's easy to do that because we know that Jesus is the Word, and all we have to do is share what He shared. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God, right? Say what God says. Amen. And believe it or not, that was the verse that came to me before I read the next verse. Okay, before I read this verse, I should say. It's Ecclesiastes 12:11. So, I didn't know that, but yes, it was one of the words that was given. The words of the wise are as goads. So, that verse came to me, and I wrote it in there, and then I noticed this verse further down. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails well fastened are the words of the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Yeah, amen. Goads are sharp prods to keep the sheep or the cattle in line, right? They're like nails in this regard. The words keep the people in line and hold them together, right? That's what the nails are, is put the building together, right? The word is what the people are made of, right? Like their Lord, they are the Word become flesh. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten from the Father. But we are also born of the Father, are we not? But we have to be twice born of the Father. And He was originally born of the Father. That's why He's called the only begotten or born. Full of grace and truth." So if Jesus has spiritual children, which we know from the parable of the sower that He does, because He sowed the seed in the hearts of men and women. And as we pointed out in our last meeting, one out of four bore the fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. The rest didn't bear fruit. And so there is many called, but few chosen. And called means invited. Because somebody's in a church does not mean that they're called or called and chosen. It means that they're invited. When we get the invitation and we have this new spirit given from God, it's that new spirit that we must follow, who follows the Holy Spirit. And this is how we accept the invitation. We study the Word to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, so we're familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit, so we can follow Him, right? And of course, He never departs from His own Word because He's not schizophrenic, right? So, this is why we study the Word. We want to hear the voice of the Lord and not another, as Jesus called it. And Hebrews 2:17 says, "Wherefore it behooved Him in all things to be made like unto His brethren, that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." It behooved Him in all things to be made like unto His brethren. He came as a man, as a spirit-filled man, right? His spiritual man was the Son of God. He also was the Son of Man. Son of Man and Son of God, right? And of course, we who have been born from above and are being born from above in spirit and soul and ultimately body, we too will manifest sonship. So, and that's the plan. Now, that's been short-circuited a lot by religion. You know, they don't believe they have to do anything except Jesus and sit on a pew and then go live the way they always lived. But so sorry, that's not going to work. These are not people that are bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And the next word was Exodus 39 and 40. The hangings of the court, its pillars, its sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, the cords thereof, and the nails thereof, and all the instruments of the service of the tabernacle for the tent of the meeting. Now this is talking about all the furnishings of the house of God, which is his people. And, well, it probably would take a whole meeting just to break that down, but I'm going to leave it basically at that. All the furnishings of the house of God. Everything that we're supposed to look like to the Lord that makes up his tabernacle. And his tabernacle looks like him. You want to see somebody that's totally furnished? It's the Lord Jesus. So, he's our standard. The next verse is Ecclesiastes 2 and 4. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and parks. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit, which represent the people of God, right? I made me pools of water to water therefrom the forest where trees were reared. Trees represent God's people too, right? So houses, vineyards, gardens, trees, fruit are ways that the scripture uses to speak of God's people, which are, as he called it, builded here by the wisdom of Solomon. Sounds very similar to the verse we just read about the wise masters of assemblies, right? We're still talking about building the house. It's all of this is about building the house. Every verse that God gave to her was about building the house. In Proverbs 24 and 3, this is so important to God, you know, this is going to be an example that God is going to confirm to those coming out of the world of what the kingdom is supposed to look like. We don't have that from what's called the church today. This is necessary for God to prepare this so that the people of God, the true people of God, will see and obey and submit to the word to come into the same image of Jesus Christ, right? And, you know, no matter who you are, you should be a help to people around you to come into that image. And in doing so, you're building the temple of God, right? Also, Proverbs 24 and 3, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Wisdom and understanding. The Lord said his people were destroyed for lack of these things. And it's true. The multitudes of people who have had an experience with the Lord have been twice dead and plucked up by the roots because they didn't understand our responsibility, and their leaders didn't either. This is why we have to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We cannot trust men, ever. We put our trust in God. God raises up good men sometimes, to give the wisdom that it's needed. Solomon here was a wise man, and he was sharing wise things with us that help us along the way. The apostles and prophets are the foundation of the house, right? So their writings, of course, is what we have to stick to. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge are the chambers filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So the wise and the humble love to be taught truth. They see it as riches, something that's more valuable to them than anything else. You know how you can tell that about somebody? Because the word is valuable to them. They spend time with the word. They're not out there partying with the world. They're studying the word, obeying, studying to look at the master to see what it is to be his disciple. He's our standard, right? And of course, this also speaks that a wise teacher will separate the sheep from the goats, right? Because the sheep are the building blocks of the house. And the goats are there for a different purpose. They're stubborn and self-willed. They'll do their own thing. They don't care what the word says. So this should be good. I mean, a wise builder will speak the word that will drive the wicked away, because it makes them responsible and they don't want to obey. The wise person loves correction. The wicked, as a fool, hates correction. Hebrews 3 and 4. And of course, the Word of God is what we have to be corrected with, right? We have to submit to it. If we come into its image, we're coming into the image of Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh, right? Hebrews 3 and 4. For every house is builded by someone, but he that built all things is God. Yeah, and God uses his fivefold ministry to build his house. The apostate church doesn't believe in a fivefold ministry. They believe in the Nicolaitan error, which is somebody who is submitting the church unto himself. And Ephesians 2 and 20 is the last word that was given, 20 through 22. Being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So these have laid the foundation of the church, which is God's house. It's in the Word. You can't build his house in your life, in your family, or in your church without this. Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And you know why? Because Jesus is a replica of the whole building. And it's all squared off of him. Right? When you put the first block down, the next one slides up to it and squares itself up, right? And it goes on to say, in whom each several building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. So, we as individual buildings are builded together as God's corporate temple. In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Yes. And so, what happens when a church is full of people that don't have to obey and are not expected to obey and are in rebellion, bringing sin into the church? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's what happens. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us very plainly that these people who are walking in leaven, willful disobedience to the word, should be shown the door. And when I heard my name in the dream, I straightened up, and leaning upon the handle of my shovel, I stopped to listen. I was shocked that the Father had wanted to bless me like that. Well, the bride is a humble and an unassuming people. I thought that the blessing should be for someone more deserving and involved, someone who was more useful or important to his kingdom. You know, I gotta say that a lot of the people that think they're somebody in the church are usually not. God works humility in his people. He gives grace to the humble, but the proud he resists, right? In my mind, all I had been doing was hard, menial labor in the background that didn't seem to amount to much. And then I woke up. Well, I think Eve's a good example for God to use. You know, Eve works hard to clean up the kingdom people, who are the house of God, being built in the verses that are given. She's a good type of the bride. She works full-time and, like I said, has a household to take care of, but she takes time to type up and to think about the prophetic exhortations to the body, which is good. So this is a labor of love, and I believe there is a larger view also important here, in that the Lord uses Eve as the bride of Adam, and the last Adam is Jesus. So the bride and Eve as part of the bride is working to perfect God's people, and we're so thankful to God for them. Amen. She said, as David read the verses, the words nails, build, builded, and house stood out to me and were very important to his message to everybody. David read them as if they were one whole passage. He didn't give scriptural references in the dream, so when I woke up, I searched for the key words, nails, build, builded, and house. And the Spirit helped to clarify which ones I had heard David read in the dream. All right. So I asked Father for a personal word for me concerning this dream, if there was a personal aspect for me in it. And because the dream doesn't seem to fit with my reality currently, I've had to devote so much of my time to working in Egypt. And the enemy tries to use this a lot to condemn me, which is probably why I was shocked in the dream and even afterwards when I woke up and was pondering on what it could mean. Well, the enemy does a lot to keep us humble. And, you know, yes, he condemns us sometimes. And we just have to walk by faith. We understand that we walk by faith. We look at Jesus and we receive him as our gift from heaven, because reconciliation has been made, and he made the reconciliation, which means an exchange. And so he exchanged his life for ours, and we accept that by faith, and we're justified through our faith. But it keeps us humble. Some people actually think they've just arrived, and they can tell it by their attitude towards others and judging others and being critical of others. They believe they're already God. You know. And so, yes, God has no patience with these people, and he usually turns them over to judgment, you know. She said, so anyway, I received Proverbs 8:31, in context 30 and 31. And my finger was on habitable from Proverbs 8:31 in the Bible Concordance. Okay. 30 and 31. Then I was by him as a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his habitable earth. And my delight was with the sons of men. So God loves those who love His people and want the best for His people and seek the good of His people. He loves them. God delights in His builders who delight in His people. That's what this is saying. And the wicked and the Pharisees hate them with a passion. Because, you know, there are people that all they did was go out there and climb the corporate ladder. They didn't realize that this was the church, and they thought the elite of the church was somebody at the top instead of somebody serving from the bottom up, right? The greatest among you shall be your servant. That's what Jesus said. But they lust after gaining people under them, you know, instead of serving them what is good for them and will build them into the image of Jesus Christ. They serve them in order to rule over them, right? And that's why Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees. She said, in the context of Proverbs 8, these verses seem to fit with the ones David read in the dream. Very encouraging. Thank you, Father. Amen. And I pray everyone else out there who is of like mind, you know, with the bride in this revelation, you know, will receive their reward, right? And also, we have this revelation from David Dengler on the 2nd, October the 2nd, 2017, which fit very well with this one, and it's called Meat for the Man-Child. And David said, I dreamed that I was at the amusement park Knott's Berry Farm. There were few people in the park. I was floating in the air above the roller coaster called Jaguar. And he said, I represent those, I believe, in heavenly places in the spirit because I'm floating in the air. Okay, that sounds right to me. The amusement park represents the world, and that sounds right to me too. And the roller coaster represents distractions in the world. True. And the jaguar is a cat. It's known for self-will, just like all cats, rebellion, and its predatory ways, right? And it's a roller coaster ride because so are the people who are at the mercy of their own lusts. They're self-willed and unstable. And they're up and down, right? The queue for the ride winds its way through a replica of the Mayan Tikal Temple 1. Very interesting. It reminds you of what Daniel said about Tikal, right? The revelation he had. How that the king was found wanting, right? And judged. But one of the major temple structures at Tikal, which is one of the largest cities and archaeological sites of the Maya civilization in northern Guatemala, it's also commonly known as the Temple of the Great Jaguar. That's interesting. And, of course, the great jaguar and his ways were being worshipped there, much like in most churches where the leader and his doctrines are worshipped. It's called this because of a lintel that shows a king sitting upon a jaguar throne. In other words, the temple is to glorify the man in rebellion to God, right? He's seated on the jaguar throne. You know, what the ministers do is the same thing the ministers did in Jesus' day. They rebelled against the Word of God. Jesus pointed that out. They're in rebellion. So we're talking about our leadership and the people that worship them. There were only two people on the ride. Two very overweight women who had squeezed themselves into the front seat. And he has a note. He said the two fat ladies are the worldly churches, with the temple of the great jaguar representing the worldly churches will lead people to destruction because the temple was used for human sacrifice. It is so true. I mean, people are being sacrificed to the ambition of men. And the doctrines are not those that will bring us into the image of Jesus Christ. And they are sitting in the front seat, he said, because they are leading. Forcing themselves into the seat represents taking a position that is not theirs and does not fit them. Agreed. Very good. And my thought is that the ladies are two because, according to our type, the Old Testament church was divided into two, Israel and Judah, representing in our covenant, the non-spirit-filled people and the spirit-filled people. And that's because, of course, Judah had the spirit within it who dwelt in the temple, and the others made up their own temple and their own worship of the golden calves, right? Which is what they believed in Egypt. So that's where the church is today, too. Same thing. There is no church outside of being baptized in the Spirit. There's no church leaders outside of being baptized in the Spirit. He told his leaders to tarry in Jerusalem until they got this, and then go. So these people decided they would just go. Right? Go get a certificate and from men rather than from God, and go. He said, the vision changed, and I was now standing on the ground under the ride. And I looked around and noticed a restaurant under the roller coaster. Well, a restaurant is a place where the spiritual food is prepared on earth, right? Yeah. And he said, this does not exist in real life. I entered the restaurant and there was a butcher wearing a perfectly white robe. I believe that's representing righteous reformer ministry, rightly dividing the word of truth, which is what a butcher does, right? If this is the meat of the word, he rightly divides it, right? And is ready to serve those who get off the roller coaster. It's on the ground underneath the roller coaster. So, David said, I walked over to him and he handed me these very large pieces of meat. Well, amen. You know, John 4:34 says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. Some people say, oh, you're preaching works. And yes, I am. God's works. We have to be willing vessels in order to have God do his works through us. And meat is to do his will. So there's a lot of people that are not on the meat. And of course, you can't grow up without the meat, right? And notice that the meat of the Lord is to do the will of the Father. Many are not able to eat this meat. And they don't even think it's necessary to do God's revealed will according to the Word. Having studied under these rebellious cats, right? They're only able to handle milk and will never grow up on that. According to Hebrews 5:12. For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers. See, it's true. If people will just study God's Word in time, they will be teachers. He said, yet have need again that someone teach you. And so, underneath the roller coaster is the one that's bringing the teaching, right? You have a need that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. Number one is don't depart. If he speaks, speak as an oracle of God, right? Don't depart from the word. Say the word. Doesn't matter if they don't believe the word, if it passed away or any of this, they got no proof of any such thing. God said it would not pass away because it's an everlasting gospel. It's an eternal covenant. It's not going to pass away. So, for everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience. There, in other words, it may be knowledge to them, or it may be false knowledge that's just distracting them. But they're without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. If you're not obeying, notice, you're a babe. But solid food, like the meat, is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Without the meat of Christ's word, we cannot walk in his steps. John 6:53-57 says this, Jesus therefore said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and he was what? The Word made flesh, right? Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves. Now I would say Jesus had life in himself. And the Word lived in him. And when he spoke the Word into his disciples, it recreated himself in them. And they went out and were called Christians, not by themselves, but the world called them Christians. 54. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, you know. Just like parents pass on their blood to their children, Jesus passed on his blood to us, right? It's typified by the wine, in the bread and the wine. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. So how do you abide in him? If his meat is to do the will of the Father, well, we first of all walk by faith in him so that we can do the work of the Father. That's what we've been sent to do. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of your works. I put that word there so that you know. Not of your works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. There's the works. If you don't have the good works, you're not receiving grace through faith. Clearly. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he that eateth me, he also shall live because of me. Amen. The meat was freshly cut, not cooked, and had no fat, meaning it had no useless fattening flesh, right? We know what fat does to people. It makes them not be able to run the race, as we talked last time, right? Even though the meat was raw, there was no blood. The size of the cuts would have been 10 pounds and larger, but they were not at all heavy to hold. You know, Jesus talked about the Pharisees loading men with burdens that they wouldn't touch themselves. But God talked about his burden being light. The butcher's robe was not at all stained. And the butcher gave me so much meat that I could not hold all of it. And some fell to the floor, but I quickly picked it up. And that was the end of the dream. Well, notice there are reformer ministries on earth, you know, even right there under the roller coaster on earth, who, like butchers, are rightly dividing the word of truth, which are feeding the meat to those who will be graduated to the man-child ministry, I believe, very soon. So this is happening. People, God's people who are hungry for truth recognize it when they see it, and God leads them to it. If any man's willing to do the will of the Father, he shall know of the teaching. Why is that? Because God will lead them to it. The people who are going to be in the mad child, they've been studying it. It may have taken somebody many, many years to put it all together for them, but it's happening. And of course, the Holy Spirit is rising up in these reformer ministries to bring the man-child to completion. And the man-child, of course, is going to bring the bride to completion, right? So these people will do the works of the Father as Jesus did. John 7 and 38, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water." Amen. Rivers of living water. You remember the rivers of living water that came out of the throne of God at the house of God in Revelation to raise up the fruit? It went past the tree of life, which the Bible says is the tongue of the righteous, and it raised up the 12 fruits, right? So it has to be the Word. There's nothing else will do it. People can go to Bible college all they want. The Pharisees all did, and it didn't work for them. And they just raised up more Pharisees, and they still do today, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. Things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So when the scene changes, he said, I am on the ground, and I believe I represent the end-time man-child body. The restaurant that doesn't exist in real life means that this is the spiritual but happening on earth. This is spiritual, but it's happening on earth. Yes, it is happening on earth. And the butcher gives us so much of his very good meat that we will not be able to hold it all. And his meat is not heavy or a burden to hold. I agree 100%. Thank you so much, Father. And Lord, we just ask and pray, Lord, that you will lead and guide all of the brethren to the meat. We know, Lord, that there is a man-child growing up in the earth today, much like David, who was actually watching over the sheep, watching over his father's sheep, even before he got anointed as the man-child and as the king. He watched over his father's sheep, and he did it faithfully. There is a people today who are growing up into the image of Jesus Christ, and God's going to use them as reformers, and we call them the man-child because the Bible calls them the man-child. And there is a people that is going to work underneath them, the bride. And just like David was over Jerusalem, his capital city, but also in Jerusalem was the leadership of the rest of God's people. And of course, that's what God is raising up the bride for. The book of Esther is very plain, you know, that the bride overcame. She desired nothing but what Haggai wanted her to have. And of course, we need to accept only what the Holy Spirit wants us to have, because he knows what the king likes in his girl, right? Praise God. So praise you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. Help us to follow your Spirit and accept only what your Spirit says. And Lord, we love you. We worship you. We ask you that you keep us, that you keep us in desiring your word. Many have failed the test and fallen by the wayside because they've departed from the word and they don't care. They're stubborn and self-willed, and they're worshiping the jaguar and submitting to the jaguar. And we just pray for them, Lord. We ask that you grant repentance and turn your people around and get them prepared for the greater things to come. Oh, some are selling their birthright, Lord, and that disturbs us. And which is what you said Esau would do. He sold his birthright, a type and a shadow, and Edom sold the birthright. They had a right to this kingdom, but they lost out because they didn't respect the word of God and didn't love your people. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask, Lord, that many of these people will repent when they see the true manifestation of Jesus in the earth, and will run to the truth once more, and run to those who rightly divide the word of truth. And of course, the man-child is learning to do this. Amen. Thank you so much, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. See you later, saints. Bless you.